to the jungle. A tremendous Thursday to you. I am Jim Rome. And look what the cat dragged in. Check him out. Program brought to you by Rockin' Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rockin' Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Just wait. Wait until they roll that open. There he is. I was going to say, wait until they roll in that open. He's here. He's back. The prodigal son with the gigantic melon. James Kelly in the house.
Negative Ghost Rider, the pattern.
What's up, Flight Deck? If you're watching on CBS Sports Network, you can see him on the other side of the glass. It's a Thursday thing, or at least a today thing. Lil Alvy is not here. Ike is on the board. He's in the front row. James Kelly is in the front row. Adam Hawk manning the back row. There is your in-studio XR4TI. What's cracking? All right, lots to get to. In fact, two interviews in hour number one, so I'll give you the phone number. If you want to jump in right now, go ahead. If you want to lay out and wait, that's fine too. 1-800-636-8686. The interviews look like this. Next segment, Tennessee tight end, or Titans tight end. Notice the alliteration. Jonnu Smith. 9:40 Pacific time, the head football coach, Ed Marshall. Doc Holliday. Middle of hour number two, Tampa Bay Bucks linebacker Shaq Barrett. Episode 144 of the Jim Rome podcast is live. Don't listen to it right now, but it is live with Steve Smith Sr. All right, I don't want to waste time. Really quickly, here is your phone number, 1-800-636-8686. Let's get right into it. Flight Deck, good to see you. Big dude. Big head. He's picking us up today. Quote, let me start this first opening take with a quote. Quote, the little guy had 37 tonight. End quote. That's how Bam Adebayo summed up what Tyler Hero did to the Boston Celtics last night. The little guy had 37. All right, to start with, Hero is 6'6", so he's not a little guy. But calling him the little guy is a lot more accurate than calling him a rookie. I know he's in his first season as a professional basketball player, but that dude is no bleeping rookie. No chance. That guy is no rookie. No doubt about it. Rookies do not do what he did last night, and they don't do what he's done throughout the entire series. Rookies do not show up in a critical game four of the conference finals and drop 37 off the bench, and they do not carry their teams. Not to a situation where they're one win away from getting to the NBA Finals. Rookies sure as hell do not go 14 of 21 and 5 of 10 from beyond the arc in the conference finals. And do not be fooled. This was not just about a guy getting hot from deep and his team finding him. This guy had the entire thing working last night. He was even Euro-stepping fools.
Back with it will come Totter. Iguodala, Dragic, also Crowder. Totter trying to find space. Totter, great step through, up with it, layup it in. What a play. 20 points for Tyler Hero. What a play.
Heat radio. This guy had it all going on last night. How about this flurry early in the fourth?
And right on cue, Tyler Hero drills another.
That driving lane was created by Tice.
Hero feeling it in and out and in again.
So you knew he could shoot the basketball, but the surprising thing is how comfortable he is running the point guard position. Has size and versatility, so you can utilize him in a variety of ways.
That's ESPN. And as I mentioned, this guy was doing it all last night, carving people up with a perfect cut to the basket.
Back with it, Butler. Butler on the left side. Backs down Kemba Walker in the lane. Back to Tyler, runs the lane with a layup and in. And we get a timeout. Miami up 107-98.
Heat radio. This guy's a rookie. Of course, the shot of the night, though, came a little bit before that cut. The shot of the night and the biggest statement from Hero was this bomb that he let fly with just over 4 minutes left.
Iguodala back to Totter, 7 on the shot clock. Has Smart in front of him, puts it over Smart for 3. Got it to go! His 5th from downtown, 33 points by the rookie. And the Heat now up 98-90 with 4 minutes left in this game.
Downtown damn near took that shot from Key Biscayne. That was the most comical shot of the entire night. Like, why not? Why don't I take a few dribbles, step into it and bury this dagger in the Celtics. Because you know I will. I know I will. And most of all, the Celtics know I will. So he did. That's the kind of swagger that that, quote, little guy has. Utterly and completely fearless. Again, we're not talking about a shot that was in a summer league game or a December regular season game that nobody was watching. That was in the fourth quarter of Game 4 of the Eastern Conference Finals with a five-point lead. 4 minutes to go. You miss that shot, Boston's got a chance to cut it to 2 or 3. But nobody should be surprised. I mean, this guy himself told you this was coming. When he was at Kentucky, he told you, quote, "I'm a bucket." What a great line. "I'm a bucket." Damn straight he is. He told an opponent that during a game in between free throws, and he meant it, and he backed it up, and he's still backing it up right now on the biggest stage of all. That bucket just went legend. And you want to put last night into perspective. Let's go with this notion that Tyler Hero really is a rookie. I mean, he doesn't play like one. He doesn't act like one, but why don't we just go with the letter of the law on this one? He broke Duanier's record for points by a rookie in a playoff game. Actually, he didn't break it, he shattered it. And even Duanier himself was celebrating and laughing on Twitter. As Dwayne Wade tweeted, quote, "What I love about what Hero Ball is doing, we all know this isn't just a hot game. This is how he plays the game of basketball." End of tweet. Again, really high praise from an all-time Heat great, Duanier. Again, it's not that the kid just got hot. It's not that he just got hot. He's just that good. He has just that much swagger. Then late in the game, Duanier knew where the ball should be going. Quote, "Get the ball in baby goat's hands and let's go home," aka back to the hotel room. And that's where it went, and that's where he went again. Think about that. They're not running their offense through Jimmy Butler or Bam or Goron, but a rookie off the bench on a huge stage. And it worked. He dominated. He went on to break a bunch of other records for rookies in playoff games. How about this? Here's the list of players who have scored 37 or more in a playoff game before their 21st birthday. Get your pen out. Here is the entire list. Magic Johnson, 42 versus Philly in 1980. Tyler Hero, 37 versus Boston last night. Pencils down. That's the entire list right there. Magic and Tyler. Irv and the bucket. Irv and the baby goat. And by the way, remember when he told you all that he's a bucket? Again, that does not do this guy justice. He's not just a bucket. I mean, yeah, he's a walking bucket. But he's also averaging more than 7 boards and 6 assists per game in the series. Like, quick, name Miami's team leader in assists in this series. Tyler Hero. Who's second in rebounding? Tyler Hero. So the bucket is a great handle, but it's not enough. It does not do this guy justice. Baby goat might actually be more accurate. You want another number. It's going to freak you out. Check out this stat. Check out this data. It's not just that he's a rookie, allegedly. He was born in 2000. Factually, this guy was born in the year 2000. We're now seeing dudes born in the year 2000 lighting it up in the NBA. And of course, since he was born in 2000 and he's only 20, he's not legally allowed to drink. He can't drink, but he can cook. Seriously, folks, here is how the baby goat himself described his night last night.
I think that my confidence is that I can play with anybody. I don't think that I was the best player on the floor, but I do think that I can play with anybody. And I think my confidence is just, that's just who I am. Just have trust in me. But I think, like Coach said, the biggest thing is my teammates from top to bottom trust me, from the oldest guy to the youngest guy. And that's big. Not all vets are like that. I mean, they really shine light on me. You know, ever since I've been to Miami, Jimmy's been the biggest influence for me. And he just continues to teach me and help me. So without my teammates, I don't think any of that would be possible, especially as it went from, you know, Milwaukee, a small town in Milwaukee, to Kentucky. Nobody thought I would survive there. And nobody thought I would survive here. So at the end of the day, it's just betting on myself.
So much good stuff in that, but let me read back just part of that quote. I went from a small town in Milwaukee to Kentucky, and nobody thought that I would survive there. Nobody thought that I would survive here. At the end of the day, it's just betting on myself, end quote. I also love that part about the bucket, talking about Jay Buckets. Hard to imagine, right, that Butler was considered such, that he was considered too much for so many other teams and so many other situations, but he's perfect in Miami. And back to the baby goat, he's just betting on himself. And he's right, he can play with anybody. Not just play with anybody, he can beat just about anybody. And so can this Heat team. They are a walking testament to culture, to identity, and finding the right guys. They've got one player who was drafted in the top 10. That's it. And that's Andre Iguodala, who was the 9th overall pick in 04. P.S. Tyler Hero was 4 years old then. But the point of this is not to say that Andre is old. It's to say that Pat Riley, Eric Spoelstra, and the rest of the Heat organization know what they are, and they know what they're looking for, and they found it in guys who came later in the draft or went undrafted completely. They've got those guys, and then they work their asses off. In other words, it's a roster full of guys who bet on themselves. Because as Spoelstra said last night, Tyler Hero did not become a star last night. He became a star in all of the hours that he put in well before that.
I think everybody overestimates what you can do in a day, and they underestimate what you can do in months of work and sweat and grind when nobody's watching. He is relentless with his work ethic. Nobody was paying attention to us during the year. He had a lot of tough moments. He did. He had some moments where it was up and down and learning about our demands on defense. But he is a worker, and he shows up the next day trying to get better every single day. And these are those incremental improvements every single day, and he earns the trust. I think it's more important in earning the trust of his teammates than it is the coaching staff. But it's that daily grind when nobody's watching and doing it when most people don't.
That is the Heat culture right there. It doesn't just sum up the baby goat, though. That sums up the entire Heat team. That explains why they're now one game away from the finals and why it's a shock to all of us, but not a surprise to any of them. 2000. This guy was born in 2000. Think about that. You want to feel old? I've got sound drops on this show that are as old or older than Hero. Tyler Hero is only a month older than the Tonya Harding 9/11 call.
This is Clark County 911. How can I help you?
I need you to come over to my house right now. I punched him in the face because he came after me, put me to the ground.
Okay. What's his middle name?
Come on over, police. Yeah, you're witness to your friends, and you pushed me to the ground.
You're a liar. You're a liar. You are a felon. And I have nothing to hide. So come on over, officer.
Come on over.
He's as old as that soundbite, or that soundbite is as old as him. Tyler Hero is the same age as the tape. Remember, John in C-Town's Lunch with the Monkey.
You and I are going to go mano a mano, the legal guardian of the jungle. That's a great honorary title. Got your back, 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 got your back. Break bread with me, and I figured, what the hell? Let's go out and we'll sit down mano a mano. Yeah, I do have a life. 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 Have a fresh take. I went out and I had a talk with Steve.
How many of you have any idea what that's about?
Something else. Monkeys, monkeys,
that was like
monkeys,
the biggest
monkeys,
thing in the jungle for literally years.
Monkeys, monkeys, monkeys,
how many
monkeys,
of you listening or watching right now have any idea what that is? Tyler Hero, Rit, was 1 year old when Mattson asked everybody, who let the dogs out?
Thank you to the greatest fans in the world! To those who speak Spanish, les agradecemos y les decimos que el año que viene lo haremos otra vez.
El mejor! It's the best. Anyway, Tyler Hero was just jumping into this world right around the time of all of that. 2000. All right, so I want to get into last night's game a little bit further, but I want to give him his run. The Hood looks like a bum. Got stories on that or thoughts on that? Adam Gase under fire again. I'm trying not to talk about the Jets. I have no choice. We will get into that and more. I've got Doc Holliday, the head football coach at Marshall, coming up at 40 past. But when we come back, Jonnu Smith, Tennessee Titans tight end. Last week is in the books. Now it's time to review the tape and get ready for this week. There is no better place to get in on all the action than with DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy sports. To add to this week's excitement, DraftKings has got a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes up for grabs. If you have not tried DraftKings yet, head to the App Store right now because you do not want to miss out. Draft your lineup. Feel the sweat like never before. Every single run, pass, catch, it all means more with DraftKings. And it's so easy. You pick your lineup, you stay under the salary cap, and then you see how your team stacks up against the competition. DraftKings has paid out billions, billions to winners since 2012. So they do know a thing or two about cold, hard cash. Just download the DraftKings app right now. Use the code ROME, R-O-M-E. And for a limited time, new users get a free shot at millions of bucks in prizes this week. Code ROME, R-O-M-E. It's only on DraftKings. Make it rain. Minimum $5 deposit. Eligibility restrictions do apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. Jim Rome with you live in Southern California. Busy first hour. Telephone calls coming up. If you're on hold, do not hang up. I will get them in. But first things first, we are joined by a tight end for the Tennessee Titans. Coming off a game where he had four receptions, 84 yards, two TDs in Sunday's win over Jacksonville. On the season, eight receptions, 120 yards, three TDs. He is tied for second in the NFL in receiving touchdowns. He was the 100th pick overall in 2017 out of FIU. Tennessee's in first in the AFC South. They're 2-0. They're at Minnesota on Sunday. That is a 1 p.m. Eastern game on CBS. Jonnu Smith is my guest. Jonnu, great to have you. How are you?
What's going on, man? How you doing?
Good, dude. Good. All right, so you had that monster game on Sunday against Jacksonville. Could not have gotten off to a better start. On the very first play from scrimmage, you're wide open. Ryan Tannehill hits you for a 63-yard gain. Let me start right there. What did you see on that play, and how valuable was it to start that game that way with an explosive hit?
Just navigating my way through the D-line. I knew it was going to be a pile-up as he was, sell and run. And, I just popped out. Just got freed up, man, and Ryan helped me, and I just went and made a play, and I'm actually upset, man. I should have scored, what I mean? I had one guy to beat, and that's usually my that's what I'm known for, with the ball in my hands, the first guy's never tackling me, so I was expecting that to be a touchdown for sure.
I like that. Jonnu Smith joining us. Well, Derrick Henry gets the ball in the next play. He runs for a yard. And then Tannehill comes right back to you, and you do score a 13-yard touchdown. Then you added a second TD late in the first half. I mean, you're looking to have a big game no matter what, but how good did it feel to have such a good performance in a win over a divisional opponent?
It was great. Like you said, man, I mean, individual stats, great, hooray, however you want to say it. But at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter, if you don't, come out with a win. So, those, individual things ultimately lead to wins if everybody collectively does their job and, make plays and, get on everybody they're supposed to get on, make their blocks, then, the result is most likely going to be a win, and vice versa on the defensive side as well, man. So we just try to, hone in on our job and do the things that we can do right so that we can ultimately come up with a team win. That's what matters the most.
Jonnu Smith is joining us. There's obviously a good connection between you and Ryan Tannehill. Your production took an enormous jump last year when he took over as the starting quarterback. How would you describe the chemistry and the connection that the two of you have?
Yeah, man, we got great chemistry, man, and great trust with one another. Just the work that we put in, this off season, and him having, putting, hours and hours and hours of working with me, man, and me just knowing, where that ball's gonna be, him knowing where I'm gonna be at, just doing that kind of stuff over and over again, man, it just builds so much trust, and you can see it translate. It's a good feeling.
Tannehill, like when he was in Miami. people had a certain perception about what he was like as a quarterback. Then he goes to Tennessee. He's named the starter during the season. And then you guys go to the AFC Championship game. Like, how would you describe him as a quarterback, and what makes him unique?
Man, Ryan is a natural leader, you know what I mean, at that position. You know, that's one of the qualities that I believe that you definitely need to be successful, and he has it, man. And you know, his innate ability, man, to go out there and lead a group of guys, man, is unique. Is definitely unique. And just you know, the pure talent that he has, man. You know, the guy's a quarterback. You know, he can make. It's not a throw he can't make, in my opinion. You know, he can do it with his feet if he needs to. So, you know, we're just, you know, extremely fortunate to have that guy on our side of the ball, man, and you know, to be catching passes from him. And, you know, Ryan's going to continue to do great things, man. He's a hell of a worker, hard worker, and, you know, he demands so much out of his offense, you know what I mean? His standards are set really high, you know, when that guy's in the huddle, man. So we just all want to make plays for each other, man, to ultimately lead to wins.
Jonnu Smith is joining us. You know, people around the team have been hyping you for quite some time, and they say that they knew this breakout was coming for you. How does it feel to you? Like, did you know that it was coming, and how does it feel to be living it?
Man, I just, you know, I always say, man, when opportunity meets preparation, man, you know, good things happen. And, you know, I'm a product of that. You know, I've had the blessing, man, literally the blessing to come under a guy like Delaney and learn from a guy like him who's been doing it for so many years and being successful at it. And, you know, me and him having, you know, a similar skill set, I got to learn from that guy, man, and, you know, just was patient. I was grateful for that, you know what I mean? And, I understand, you know, that this is the pro level, you know what I mean? And, you know, guys are, you know, established vets, and, you know, guys are, you know, been doing it for a long time. So I was just fortunate to learn from him, man. And you know, I knew my opportunity was going to come. So I just continue to prepare myself, learn from a guy like that, man. He's been great to have in my career, man. I get that guy a lot of credit. More than what it may seem like, but you know, just having a guy like that, man, and just being patient and working my butt off, man. I pride myself on my work ethic, and most importantly, my, you know, my God-given ability. Just you know, tying all those things together, man, and you know, taking advantage of the opportunity when it comes.
Delaney, of course, is Delaney Walker. He is a pro's pro. Now, when you talk about your work ethic, you are a weight room legend to the point that some of your teammates complain about the fact that you're in crazy shape and you like to announce the weight room is free. Where did your love of lifting come from, and then how much does that translate on the field on Sunday?
Oh man, I can remember going back to just doing push-ups. You know, before I go to sleep, when I was, man, 10 years old, just me and my brother just doing push-ups. Me and my friends, they came over, man, we just pull out the deck of cards and you know, just whatever deck is shown, man, whether it be a jack, a 10, a, you know what I mean, a 8, you know what I mean? We just doing how many, you know, whatever number pops up on that card, man. And I just grew in love with just working out, just being one of the stronger guys. I guess that was just something in me that was just always competitive. Like, I just wanted to be the strongest guy. Just going to school, I remember doing push-ups in the classroom, against some of my friends in the class, man, at such a young age, you know what I mean, 12 years old, man, but that was fun to me, you know what I mean, I got so much enjoyment out of that, and by the time I got to high school, my mom had sent me to Florida. I was in Philly at the time, she sent me away to Florida, and, man, I guess, of course football is a hotbed in Florida, but weightlifting is also a big thing, you know, down there too. In states like Georgia and Florida, you know, those southern states, weightlifting competition is pretty big in high school. So, our football coach at the time, you know, made sure that all the guys on the football team, we were on a weightlifting team. So I fell in love with that, man, and I did the clean and jerk and I did the bench press. And I just fell in love with the weight room, man, and I just loved working out. And it was just something, man, that was in me since I was young. And, you know, I wound up, you know, competing in county. I was upset because I placed in second place, but I got a trophy for that, man. But it was something that I always just enjoyed doing.
So, General, like, you went to the weight room and you never left, man. You fell in love with it.
Yeah.
So people might think that every dude in the league loves to work out and loves to lift. But is that true? Is that true? They don't, right?
No,
not everybody.
That's not true at all. I thought the same thing, man. I'm like, well, these guys are pros. I mean, some do it. You know, guys are in great shape because they got to be. You know what I mean? But to actually love it, man, that's – So I guess I'm just getting the best of both worlds. Not only am I in great shape, but I love doing it. You know what I mean? I love being in weight room. I love the stress it puts on my body. I love, you know, fighting and urging for that last rep. You know what I mean, man? I just love it. You know what I mean?
Johnny Smith joining us. That is great. Listen, one last thought. You tweeted the following, quote, Publix glazed donuts, the best donuts. Don't even mention Krispy Kreme.
Don't even mention it.
My man, it's a bold statement. It's a bold statement. Lay it out for me. Why are Publix glazed donuts better than even Krispy Kreme?
So I'm gonna give you another quick story, man. So I grew up, I'm at the FIU, man, and it's an enclosed campus, man. It was a pretty large campus, and right across the street from campus was a Publix. Publix grocery store. So we had to go get groceries. Me and my friends, we would walk over there. I had never heard, it was Krispy Kremes all over Miami, but at the time I was a true freshman. We didn't have cars. You know what I mean? So it was, you know, a bit of a hassle for us to actually get to a Krispy Kreme, man. So the only thing we had was those donuts across the street from campus, man. So we would walk over there and we tried them out one day, man, and we never looked back. And ever since then, man, it's been a perfect combination, man. I actually got a box sitting at home waiting on me now. So, you know, after practice, I'm gonna go chow down on some donuts.
So, dude, what's the approach? I mean, is that like a once a week thing? Is there a cheat day, a cheat meal? How does that incorporate in your training?
You know, whoever told you that the weight room is free, man, you can get away with stuff like that, man, when you love it as much as I do. You know what I mean? Go and eat some donuts, come in here, live, burn it off, you'd be good.
The weight room is free is a great statement. Listen, one last thought. You mentioned moving to Florida. You've been nicknamed the Fresh Prince of Ocala. For those who do not know, and you mentioned it, you were growing up in Philadelphia, you moved to Florida to live with your aunt and uncle. What was that transition like?
It was a huge transition, man, because the city of Philadelphia is very, it's an urban area, you know what I mean, real metropolitan. It's a real fast city. It's a lot going on. You know, they call it the city of brotherly love. There's not much love there, especially where I grew up at. But I love my city, you know what I mean? And you get a taste of, you know, life early, you know, growing up in that city. And then, you know, my mom, you know, wanted, you know, a different upbringing for me. So I moved to Ocala, Florida, man, which was the total opposite. My aunt and uncle lived in an established suburban area. You know what I mean? It was everything that, you know, you would kind of see in a movie on Disney Channel, something
right.
like that. You know what I mean? And it was just a culture shock to me because here I am, you know, this kid from the inner city, and now I'm going to school with, you know, 2,000-3,000 kids that are from all different, you know, races, you know what I mean? And I haven't experienced that growing up in Philadelphia. Everybody in my, you know, hometown was predominantly African American, even in my school, you know, in high school as well. So it was just different for me, man. But it was great, man. I got to learn and grow, and you know, just be, very observant, and you know, learn a lot of things, man. It was, you know, one of the best decisions my mom's made for me, man.
Tennessee, how quickly they're in first, and their tight end Johnny Smith off to a really fast start. My man, so good to have you on the show. I love that conversation. Appreciate you.
Appreciate you, man. Thank you.
Let's do it again soon. That was fun. Well done, Johnny Smith. That was a blast. The weight room is free. I love the point that he made, too, that he just assumed that because he loved it, everybody did, and everybody lifts, and everybody's got that same passion for it. He said, that's not true. Guys do it because it's part of the job, but not everybody loves it. He's like, I win both ways. I absolutely love it, and it is part of the job. Jonnu Smith. All right, when we come back, we will talk some college football. The head football coach at Marshall, Doc Holliday, joins us. We go back-to-back. Top of the hour, I open it up to you. Come on now. Somebody get up in here and somebody make it better. Look at my crew. We've got a different look for you today. In the front row, Ike. Are you wearing a tie, bro? He is. The old man's rocking a tie. James Kelly, you're not. You better not be. The deck, the flight head for the first time in months. The prodigal head is back. Adam Hawk in the back row. And seated right here in front of my white desk is me, the host, Jim Rome. That's not true, Rit. Get right.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
So I said that I would go back-to-back, and I will go back-to-back. Just had a really good conversation with Tennessee Titans tight end, Jonnu Smith. Let's talk a little college football. We are joined right now by the head football coach at Marshall. He is in his 11th season with the Thundering Herd. led Marshall to 6 bowl wins overall. He was a conference coach of the year in 2014. Marshall is 2-0. They are ranked number 25 in the AP poll. They're at Western Kentucky on October 10th. Doc Holliday is my guest. Doc, good to have you back. How are you?
I'm doing great, Jim. How are you?
Good, good. So let me ask you about the win over App State. That was the program's first win over a ranked opponent since 2003, so really significant. What was your message to your team going into that game?
Well, you know, number one, you know, we felt good going into that game. We knew we were playing an excellent football team in App State, and I felt we were a pretty good team as well. And, you know, we just had to be the best team on the field that particular day in all three phases, and I thought our guys did a great job executing, just proud of our players.
Doc Holliday joining us. So you return the opening kickoff 34 yards. App State commits a 15-yard penalty. Then you go run, incomplete pass, run, and run for a TD. How significant was that opening drive in terms of making a statement?
Well, there's no question. You always want to start fast, especially, you know, and had the opportunity to get that done. I thought our kickoff return team did an excellent job, as you say, kind of setting the tone. And you know, we're good up front offensively. I like our offensive line. We got the MVP in our league coming back at running back. And, you know, so those guys just kind of took that thing over that first drive. And it's always great to go down there and score, and especially we got a freshman quarterback that's starting just his second game. So it gave him some confidence and helped us throughout the game.
I'm going to ask you about your freshman quarterback in a minute, but what about the other side of the ball? App State comes back. They score on their first drive. But then from that point on, you keep them off the scoreboard. What was your approach defensively, and then how pleased were you with the execution on that side of the ball?
Well, you know, any time, you know, going into that game, you know, they'd run for well over 200. They ran for over 300 yards in that first game they played. And for the last 6 years, they've averaged well over 200 yards a game for every game they've played. And we felt going in that we had to stop the run. You know, they'd been very successful at doing that. We held them to less than 100 yards rushing. So that's where it started. And then at some point, you know, you got to get that extra hat in the box to do that. So I thought we matched pretty well outside with the corners, played well, and gave us the opportunity to have a chance to win the game.
Marshall head football coach Doc Holliday joining us. You mentioned your freshman quarterback, redshirt freshman Grant Wells. He had this huge sequence in the third quarter where he completed a 67-yard pass down to the App State 12. A couple of App State players collide on that play. They have to bring in a new safety. What was the thinking on the call for the next play, and how do you like the way Wells handled that play?
Well, he handled extremely well. We felt, you know, with that new safety going in the game, you know, he's the guy that was responsible for Wells on that particular play. And, you know, we felt like we may be able to, you know, with Knox, when you got, you know, a running back who Knox down there, who's an excellent player, we felt that we had a shot. If they bent that thing off the backside edge and he read it right, it could go in for a touchdown. And it did. We were fortunate there to make that happen.
And at the same time, what does that say about a redshirt freshman quarterback that he's able to come up that big in such a big moment against a top 25 team?
Well, I think number one, offensively, if you can take care of the football, you know, you got a chance. And, you know, he started two games. We've had one turnover in two games. That's one too many. But, you know, he's done a good job of making good decisions and taking care of the football. As long as he can do that, for the next rest of the year, we got a shot.
We're talking to Marshall football. The head football coach there is Doc Holliday. So early in the fourth quarter, you're up 17-7. App State goes in from 4th and inches. On the 45-yard line, they go for it. They go with a play-action pass. They hit the tight end. He's sprinting for the end zone. And then Brandon Drayton catches him from behind, forces a fumble right before he scores. Like, what's going through your head on that play, and what does that hustle say about Drayton?
Well, I think it says a lot about your football team is you never give up on a play. You know, the play's never over until the final whistle. And, you know, Drayton did a great job of going down there and getting that strip. We had another guy, Nazi Johnson, or our other safety, who was – you know, not quitting on the play, not giving up on the play, and then finish the play the right way. He's able to cover it in the end zone for a touchback. But that was a huge play in that game. You know, that turnover right there was the biggest play in the game. Gave us the opportunity to get the ball back there offensively.
So, Doc, I know you're on to the next thing, but as I mentioned, that was your first win over a ranked opponent since 2003, the first win over a ranked opponent at home since 1976. How big of a win then was that for the program?
Well, anytime you can, and of course, we beat a ranked opponent in the bowl game in 2014. We played Northern Illinois at that time. I think they were 22nd or 23rd in the country. But, you know, any time, you know, the fortunate thing for us, Jim, is, you know, our last two games, because of what's going on, have been on the national stage. You know, we had the ESPN slot there, game one. We had the CBS spot at 3:30 here, game two. And, you know, anytime you get the opportunity to showcase your program on a national stage and have the opportunity to win against an excellent team like App State, there's no doubt that's going to, you know, help your school, that's going to help your community, the fan base, the whole thing. So that was an exciting win for us. And as you mentioned before, you know, crazy thing right now, Jim, is we're trying just to figure out how to, you know, navigate. You know, we're going to have two games in 6-7 weeks. That's hard. You know, we don't play for another couple of weeks here now. So I guess the important thing for us is just keep trying to get better as a football team. When we get the opportunity here in a couple weeks to open up conference play, we're ready to go.
See, I was going to ask you about that, Doc. The fact is, you've got a situation where you were supposed to play against Rice on October 3rd, but that game has been postponed. So now you're currently not scheduled to play until October 10th. Are you looking to schedule a game for October 3rd, or do you just kind of roll with what you have right now? What's the plan?
Well, we're trying to find a game. I mean, we've been trying to find a game a long time for October 3rd, and unfortunately, we haven't been successful getting that done. So, you know, we just got to, you know, I think the one thing when all this started way back, you know, is it's a different season. You know, the one thing we have to do as a coaching staff and as players is control what we can control. And that's just going out there every day and getting better as a football team. Hopefully we'll get another game, but things change. I mean, things change every day with what's happening right now. I think it was, 5 to 6 games canceled yesterday. So you never know. You know, hopefully at some point we can get one for the third, but if not, we just got to keep preparing and be ready to go on the 10th.
So, Doc, like, what's that been like? You and I have talked in the past about your journey to this spot. You've been around the game a long, long time, but what's it been like being a head coach this year and having to deal with so many variables, including if and when the games are actually going to get played?
Yeah, Jim, I think the hardest thing, and you understand this probably as well as anybody, is, you know, coaches are control freaks. You know, we want to control everything. You know, and unfortunately for this year, there's certain aspects going on out there we just can't control. So we got to, you know, lock in and focus on what we can. I think the thing I told our team from day one is probably leadership and accountability is going to be more important right now for a football team than ever before because, you know, we as long as we have them around here, you know, they're wearing masks, they're social distancing, they're doing all the right things that they're asked to do to eliminate contact tracing. But once they leave our building, you know, that's we got students on campus, you know, we're not in a bubble. So it's so important these kids go out there and make great decisions because, you know, we talk all the time about decisions having consequences and one bad decision can destroy you. Well, that's the same way right now with our players. You make one bad decision out there and be somewhere we shouldn't be and that type of thing, you know, you could miss 1 to 2 weeks. So we just have to, again, control what we can control and try to go out there every day and get better.
Boy, every single coach says that too. Like, we've got the guys in the facility and we trust them there, but once they go out, you never know what they're going to do and they have to make good choices. What about depth? Doc Holliday, my guest for another moment or so. How important is depth in a season like this? In other words, I know you're going to prepare every single player as much as you possibly can, but how important is it for guys further down on the depth chart to be ready to go at a moment's notice?
Well, you know, that's what we talked about here early on. These next couple of weeks we have, and we did it prior to this as well, is, you know, we're working our thirds a lot. You know, normally your third team offensive players and defensive players, even special team players, don't get a whole lot of work once the season starts. But, you know, with the situation we're in right now, we started that way back during camp as working threes a lot more. We're taking this week, and our ones and twos will not get as much work. Our threes will get a lot more. And the same thing on your special team units. You know, all of a sudden, you're working three groups, whether it be kickoff, return, punt, whatever, because, you know, at some point, who knows, probably some of those guys are going to have to play, and you sure can't get them ready to play in 1 or 2 days. You got to have them ready to play right now, so if the time comes where they have to, they're ready to go.
Stock, one more thing. You mentioned what that win over App State meant to the program, what it meant to the fan base, and then you've got the players. A guy that you mentioned momentarily or for a moment back, Brendan Knox, he rushed for 138 yards. He had the opening touchdown. He said after the game, and this is a quote, "Man, I could cry. This is something you could talk about once you leave here for the rest of your life." Not many people get to do that, being able to knock off a top 25 team. That's what people dream about on national TV. End of quote. So again, it's a big win for the program, for the fan base, for the players. But what about that particular individual player? When you hear him talk about how special that win is to him personally, how does that make you feel?
Well, he's a special kid. You know, of course, I say he's the MVP of the league a year ago, and you know, he just does such a great job. Our kids have great respect for him. You know, what's great about it, Jim, when you get a player of that caliber like that, and every day he walks on the practice field, he outworks everybody. You know, that's what great players do, and he's a tremendous kid. Whatever he gets, he deserves, and I'm just happy for him and, of course, all the players.
So Marshall 2-0 this season. They're number 25 in the AP poll. They're at Western Kentucky. Well, we think. Well, we know that. But that's October 10th. We'll see if something happens between now and then. Doc, it's great to have you back on the show. Thanks so much for the conversation.
Thanks so much. You have a great day now, okay?
You too. Doc, have a great day. Great talking to you. Don't forget, Sunday. Sunday is a great day, too. The NFL on CBS is featuring some fantastic matchups. You've got the league's top contenders, including the Raiders. Yeah, I said it. The league's top contenders, including the Raiders, on the road against the Patriots. Deshaun Watson and the Texans taking on the Steelers. It all starts with JB and the fellas getting you set for the day starting at Sunday. On Sunday at noon Eastern and 9 Pacific on CBS. James Kelly, you better get ready, man. I know you're here today, but I may call you tomorrow with some picks because you're on a heater, yo. He had a big week last week. He went 3-1-1 against the spread with his on-air picks. So he's trying to keep that hot. 1-800-636-8686. Other things to get to still yet. I got Shaq Barrett coming up next hour. I had a tremendous sit-down conversation with Steve Smith. I do not play favorites. Steve Smith is one of my favorite athletes, not just NFLers, one of my favorite athletes since I've been in this game. And I've been in this game a long time. Tyler Hero has been in this game of life since 2000. This kid was born in 2000. Crazy to me. I've got sound drops that I play that happened before he was born. And this guy's just lighting it up in the conference finals. Steve Smith, though, one of my favorite athletes, and episode 144 is one of my favorite episodes of the Jim Rome podcast. Over an hour with Steve Smith Sr. and almost none of it on football. And it's still amazing. I'll have a preview of that for you. Let's check out some of the React. Casey in New Hampshire tweets, Tyler Hero is only 20. Yeah, right. And I'm only 13. Signed, Danny Almonte. Danny Almonte. It's just because that guy was 24 when he was in the Little League World Series. SA Sports Honk tweets, Rome, I was born in 2000 also. Signed, Hawks, Toyota Camry. Ah. Look at you, Rit. Rit just couldn't wait to drop that in there. Rit. Rit's feeling himself. Hey, Rome, once again, Rit is going presidential and wearing a tie. This isn't your own personal campaign for office, Ike. Or maybe it is. Look at this guy, man. He's playing that board like a grand piano. All right, we're coming back. Open phones to start hour number two. You've got that number. Don't abuse it. You're in the jungle. I am Jim Rome. Stay tuned.